right. Let's start. Somebody read, please, 2 Chronicles, beginning in chapter 33, verse 21, and read down through chapter 34, verse 3. All right. Thank you, Jeremy. Who was, we're going to be discussing Josiah this morning. Who was Josiah's grandfather? Manasseh. What was he like? Yeah, he was a very evil king. And what did the Lord do to him? He had the king of Assyria come and carry him off with hooks in his mouth, his lip. And he was drug off to Assyria. And while he was in Assyria, he humbled himself before God and asked for forgiveness. And what did God do? Restored him to the kingdom. And he began some reforms that started getting rid of all of these idols and images and all this false worship that he had set up. And then he dies. His son Ammon takes over. How long did he reign? 2 years. He was a pretty rotten fellow. And what happened to him? Yeah, murdered by people in his own circle. And then the people themselves, the nation, killed those folks, and they put Josiah in as king. It's interesting. How old was Josiah when he began to reign? How old was Manasseh when he began to reign? 12. And so you wonder, we don't know, but you wonder if after Manasseh had humbled himself and he came back to the kingdom and he began these reforms, perhaps Ammon was beyond saving. But there was little Josiah that Manasseh may have had an influence on. And Manasseh may very well be the reason that Josiah ended up being a good king, because Manasseh realized that he hadn't been what he should have been. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, we don't know who had the influence on Josiah, but he was obviously influenced for good. I don't think that an 8-year-old makes the decision, oh, I'm not going to be like my dad. You know, someone had an influence on to cause him to be different from his father and different from the ways that his grandfather had been. And so you're right. We're talking about leadership here, and these are some people who maybe had an influence in Josiah's life that we don't even know their names. And yet they were leaders in Israel because they influenced this young man to be a good king. Verse 2 is sort of the summary of Josiah's reign. The Chronicles and Kings kind of summarize the reign and then talk about it. It says, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. Did he know David? How would he walk in the ways of David? Well, that's right. He was a descendant of David, but how did he walk in the ways of? Yeah, yeah. Could it be said that we walk in the ways of Paul? Yeah, because we allow Paul to influence us through his writings, through the life that he lived. And of course, Paul's information came from God, and so ultimately, the Lord is the source. David is just kind of the ideal king that everybody gets compared to, and you either walk like David or you didn't walk like David. And David served the Lord faithfully, and that's what that means in regard to Josiah. It says that he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left of the things of the Lord. Now, verse 3 and following kind of give us the details of Josiah's life. I'm going to skip a question in your book and go to the next question. What did Josiah do at age 20? Yeah. He started tearing down the idols, removing all of the false worship in the land. What does the passage, what does verse 3 also tell us about how he got to the point where he would be doing something like that at age 20? What did he do at age 16? Yes, it says that while he was still young, he began to seek God, his father, and the God of his father David. And then in the 12th year, he did those things. And Brother Dawson asked the question, well, why did he wait 4 years? Yeah, very good. well, where Shane went. Whose kid is 8 years old? Oh, there you are. He's nine. Okay. And Gideon is 7. So Katie is 8. Okay. Can you imagine Katie ruling over the United States? Would we want to live under Katie at 8? Okay. there's a certain amount of growth and maturity that has to take place, even if by virtue of the fact that Josiah, just because his daddy gets killed, becomes king at eight. It doesn't necessarily mean he's ready to be a king at 8 years old. So he's going to have counselors and guidance and things like that. And so by the time he gets to 16, he's mature enough to make this decision to follow the Lord and serve the Lord and listen to what the Lord has to say. And then by 20, he is apparently old enough to begin implementing some of the things that he understands. And he really begins to implement them. He's forming not only Jerusalem, but all of the nation that he is over, removing these images and getting rid of the false worship. He even says that he, verse 5, burned the bones of the priests on their altars. I assume that probably means that in the process of eliminating these things, they probably had to kill some of those folks. And when they killed them, they just burned them on their own altar. That's pretty graphic. But it also speaks to how serious Josiah was about following the Lord, doesn't it? And there are often consequences when we choose not to follow the Lord. Yeah. And, you know, Josiah has a lot more credibility at 20 than he does at 16, right? So, I mean, we don't know all the reasons, or maybe any of the reasons, why he waited till 20, but he did anyway, and he did what was right, and he was learning through the entire process. What does Ecclesiastes 12:1 say? It starts with the word remember. Yeah, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, and that's obviously what's going on here in Josiah's life, and certainly advice that we need to be paying attention to. Brother Dawson suggests that seeking the Lord prepares one to be a good leader. Is that true? Was that? Yeah. Why is that? Yeah, that's right. And I mean, everything that we would want in a leader, you see in the qualities and characteristics of what the Lord wants us to be. How many of the qualifications, well, let me word this differently. With the exception of the qualification for an elder to be married and to have children, are there any other qualities that wouldn't be something that every Christian should have in their life, develop in their life? I mean, even the qualification of not a novice, is that something that we all should do? Yeah, we're all supposed to grow up into Christ, right? Going back to our theme. You know, so whether or not a person ever becomes an elder in the Lord's church, all of those qualities need to be developed. And they make us better people, and they make us capable of being very good leaders. What happened with Josiah at age, what happened in Josiah's 26th year? You know, I guess it seems kind of unusual to us, you know, when we have multiple copies of Bibles in our homes, and most people have a Bible in their home somewhere, or they can run down to the bookstore and grab one if they don't have one and want one. In this situation, you know, they didn't have the Word that readily available. And so he says, in the process of these reforms, let's go clean up the temple of the Lord and restore it to its to the way it should have been when Solomon built it. And let's restart the proper worship of the Lord at this temple. And in the process of cleaning everything up, oh, look, we found this book. It happens to be the Word of God, the Book of the Covenant. And they brought it to Josiah. What happens when Josiah gets it? Yeah, but before he got upset, what did they do? They read it. And it wasn't just a little bit of it, was it? Sounds like that they read the whole thing to Josiah. And what part do you think caught Josiah's attention? Yes, the Passover. Yeah, that was, yeah. Yeah, in the chapter after this one, we see this Passover that they keep. It was a grand ceremony to keep this Passover. But before that, what does Hezekiah want them to do? He wants them to go talk to somebody. Who do they go talk to? It appears that Josiah listened to the blessings and the curses that were written down by Moses. And it talked about all the things that were going to come on the people when they didn't follow God. And so Josiah says, hey, Hilkiah, we've got to go inquire of the Lord and find out whether or not these things are going to happen to us, because God has promised basically to wipe us out, and we don't want this to happen. You need to go inquire of the Lord. And so they go to Huldah, the prophetess, and ask her, and the Lord, through Huldah, I think I'm saying that right, tells Josiah, I'm not going to change my mind about what I said I would do, but I won't do it in your lifetime. And just as soon as Josiah was dead, it starts happening to his sons, and they end up going into Babylonian captivity not too many years after this. But what was the reason that God said it wouldn't happen in Josiah's life? You remember? Because he humbled himself. That's right. What verse is that? 27? Yeah, I was too far down. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me and you tore your robe. And this is something that we didn't pick up on, I don't believe, in the previous reading, further up in the chapter. He said, and wept before me. I have also heard you, says the Lord. What does a good leader do when he realizes that mistakes have been made? Send his PR guy out to do his best to make it look like no mistakes were made? Yeah. He repented and tried to correct it. It didn't hide the fact that there was a problem. I mean, he's representing the whole nation, right? And so he's got to get this nation right before the Lord in order to avoid these consequences. I remember an event that happened to us in our company. It wasn't exactly our fault, but it looked like it was, the way things happened. And we were told, don't admit any mistakes. Don't let anybody know that you did anything wrong. And I said, well, I'm sorry. We're going to tell people the way it happened. And we're going to be honest about this, and we're going to tell folks that we're going to do everything we can to make this right. And we did. And that's the way you do this, and that's exactly what Josiah did, was you confess your faults. You put them out there. You say, I've made a mistake. I want to ask for forgiveness, and I'll accept the consequences of whatever happens to me. And generally, the consequences aren't as great if you'll just go ahead and do that. I mean, how many times have we seen politicians cover up, cover up, cover up, cover up? Finally, the evidence just gets out there, and there's no denying what happened. And so finally, they admitted, and they resigned from office in shame, and you never hear of them again. If they had just said, yeah, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, they probably could have stayed right where they were. Are we the same way? The Lord knows us, doesn't he? And when we make a mistake, especially before God, the best thing to do is just admit it, get it out there, ask for forgiveness, and try to move on. And one of the things that I've witnessed over my years among the Lord's people, when a person will admit that they're wrong and ask for forgiveness, God's people are very forgiving people. And that forgiveness is very powerful in healing people. And I've seen people who were at extreme odds with each other because of a mistake that one person made be able to overcome that and be the best of forgiveness is the reason that that can happen. Hiding our sin does not allow for that to happen, or repentance only when forced, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going back to a previous lesson, you got the contrast between Saul and David. Did both of them sin in big ways? They did. What was the difference in Saul and David? It was how they handled their sin. Saul wanted to continually make excuses and act like nothing big had happened. And David, on the other hand, humbled himself, admitted his sin, and went before God and asked for forgiveness and was forgiven. Huge difference in the way that they approach that. And in when it comes to leadership, that's just necessary. We just cannot hide the fact that we have made a mistake, that we have sinned. Will leaders sin? You know, yeah. We can't expect that a person will never sin. But truly, the way that a person handles the situation when they do sin says a lot about their character, and their character determines their ability to lead. I was trying to see. That's on further down here. I'll just get to that later. So what does Josiah do then at the end of chapter 34? How does he approach this with the Lord? Starting in verse 29 and going down, how does he handle this with the nation and with the Lord? Yeah, he brings all the people together, doesn't he? And it sounds to me like he's asked everybody that can to come to Jerusalem. And what does he do? What's the next thing he does there after the people come? Yeah, he read the law, didn't he? Now, the Book of the Covenant, I don't know exactly what all was in the Book of the Covenant, but you can figure that probably the latter part of Exodus, all of Leviticus and Numbers were in the Book of the Covenant. May very well have included Genesis. Don't know. The Ten Commandments were the covenant, and then the Book of the Covenant were the other things that Moses wrote down. And we know that Moses wrote the first five books in our Bible. So I don't know what all was in that Book of the Covenant, but it wasn't like a two-page document. He brings the people together, and he reads the Book of the Covenant to them. Then after he reads the Book of the Covenant, what does he do? Before he made them pledge, what was the next thing? Oh, what was the... That's all right. He personally made a covenant to follow the Lord. And then after he makes this covenant to follow the Lord, what does he do, Tom? Yeah, he encourages the people to do the same. And they all make this covenant before the Lord verse 31, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his or their heart, with all his or their soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. Could you ever imagine one of our presidents just going on public TV and reading the Bible to us, committing himself to the Lord and asking the nation to do that? Wouldn't that be great? But no, we're too worried about political correctness and all this other stuff and being offensive to anyone, and so we can't do anything like that. And that's the reason that we fail. So what do you think about Josiah as a leader?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He is leading by example. Mm-hmm. Yeah, verse 33, the end of the verse. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. It's pretty impressive reform in the country. When you read chapter 35, and that wasn't in the lesson material, but it's kind of hard not to just keep on reading about Josiah, you know. It's pretty amazing because you sort of get this picture that nobody really knew how to celebrate the Passover, and so there's this great examination of God's word going on. How do we do this? And so he sets everything up, and he wants to do it in a big way because they've neglected it for so long. And so he puts together the best of everything and has this Passover celebration before the Lord in a great way. And I can't help but think that there was not excitement on the part of the people for doing this, and a renewal, an energy around doing what was right and knowing that you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, remembering their heritage of coming out of Egypt and that sort of thing. It's just incredible what Josiah was able to do during his time. He's one of the few kings in the history of the nation really there's not anything bad said about. Even Hezekiah, as great as he was, at the end of his life, when the Lord gives him 15 additional years, he gets very proud and arrogant and has to be reined in because of that. Have you ever known parents who felt like their children needed to be in church, and so they sent them with their grandparents? I've seen that. And I think it's great that the grandparents bring the children to church, but what in Josiah's life is missing from the lives of people who do that? What do those kids need to see? They need to see godly parents, don't they? They need to see their parents leading by example. And actually, they are seeing their parents lead by example, aren't they? And what is the example? Yeah, worshiping the Lord doesn't mean anything to us, but go do it with grandparents. So it's extremely important that parents learn how to be the example to their children. What is that? It's a form of what? Topic of our class. I heard it, I think. Leadership. Yeah, it's leadership. I think sometimes we don't think about that, but it is definitely leadership. Somebody read for us the paragraph at the top of the second page of the lesson, "I'd rather see a sermon." It's an interesting thing. I've heard this several times in my life, but it'd be good for us just to read it again. Somebody read that out loud for us. I like that. It took that guy from 1881 to 1959 to write that, but It probably took him that long to learn it, but obviously a very good little poem. There are four statements in the middle here that Brother Dawson talks about. What did you get? That's got personal, whatever, public, whatever. What did you get for that? Personal, first, what's the first one? Personal, seeking God? What else did you put down? Nobody else wrote anything down? Personal what? Commitment. Yeah, that's what I wrote down. Brother Dawson's answers, which you can find online if you have read the book, is a personal renewal. And the second one is personal what? What did you come up with that one? Personal action, okay. Example. I put change. Brother Dawson said reform. And then those two just get repeated on the next ones. So, in other words, it starts with me personally, and then when I have accomplished these two things in my life, then I can publicly try to seek the commitment or renewal of others and then the reform or change in others. The point simply being that... going back really to the point of the poem and the whole point of the lesson, that we lead by example, and so we have to have these things in our life first in order to expect anyone to be changed by what we say. Comments or questions after this? Yeah. Very good points. Very good point. Other comments? Jeremy? Yeah. It says that each person is responsible for themselves, doesn't it? And that's very important. In Judges, what do you remember the statement that's made about a generation in Judges right at the beginning? Did what was right in their own eyes, but it said that a generation came up that did not know God. How does a generation come up that does not know God? Somebody didn't take responsibility. That's right. He's saying that we can do our best to be an example and to lead and be what the Lord wants us to be. But the next generation has to make the same choice, and nothing changes about that. And you know, when Nan's brother got leukemia and passed away at 52, he was just a great preacher, a good Bible student, and an excellent influencer, if you want to call it that, in the Lord's kingdom. And I wondered why at 52 would the Lord take him away, and I'm not blaming God for that. Just allowing it to happen, I guess. I wondered about that. And but then there was Brian and Brent and Heather, his children. And they are their father three times and a great generation, next generation. And I just think that, in that sense, the Lord knew that the next generation was going to carry on. And so Tom wasn't necessary. It had his influence. And so, you do wonder about all these things, don't you? Richard. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Will we reform ourselves or not? Paula? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just speaks to the importance of leadership, doesn't it? Because if you've got a bad leader or you've got a lack of leadership, the people are going to do whatever the people do. And if you've got a good leader, you can begin to turn things around. There are going to be people who follow a good leader. Even during the time of Josiah, there were people who weren't, because if you read Jeremiah, who was a prophet during the time of Josiah, Jeremiah's constantly complaining about the fact that people aren't following God, even in Josiah's reign. And so Josiah didn't influence every single person in the nation. There were those people in the nation who were just waiting for Josiah to get out of the way so that they get a bad guy like his son to come up, and then off they go. That's exactly, we see that happen in our own country, do we not? And so leadership, good leadership, is the key here, and leadership that follows the Lord. All right, that'll do us for today. Thank you.